Okay. This writing to the Galatians, remember I said before, what does the Galatian mean? White, or representing righteousness. So he's writing this book to the who? To the righteous. And we're only righteous in Christ, so we're speaking of first fruit right now. That's what this book was written to. Okay, chapter 3, verse 1 of Galatians. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Excuse me. Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying, In you shall all nations be blessed. So then they that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continues not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, Cursed is every one that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannuls or adds thereto. Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made. He said, Not as to seeds as of many, but as of one, even to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promises of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serve the law? It was added because of the transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scriptures has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But there before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which would afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster, for you are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor free female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Father, help us this morning as we glean from your word the masterful penning by the Spirit through our brother Paul. Father, help us to understand what the Spirit spoke through these words. Father, help us lay aside that religious Jebusite spirit that's in all of us, and let us get to the truth to what the Spirit is saying and how it may help us live our life this day. Because we do not live hundreds of years ago or thousands of years ago or into the future. Father, we live right now. And this is the time that we need to deal with the things in our life. Father, help us to understand that. Amen. Okay, back to 3:1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Now this word foolish, what does that strike you as? What does it mean? Huh? The language literally says unintelligent and sensual. What does that point at? Unintelligent and sensual. Okay. Sensual points to one thing to me when I hear the word sensual. And I'm not talking about natural, I'm talking about spiritual things. And the word sensual points me to the soulish realm, which is controlled by my senses. Taste, touch, hearing, smelling, seeing, all that, you know, all that stuff. The five senses. So I see this in another way, and give me the liberty here to say the words. Oh, soulish Galatians. Does that make sense? They're soulish. They went back to their natural senses and they started in the spirit in with God, and now they're going back to their natural way of doing things. See, does that make sense? That's what they're doing. And now if he's talking this to the Galatians, do you think he's only talking it to the Galatians? Are they the only ones that are soulish? See, he's talking it to us today. We have to realize that this soulish stuff is in us. As long as we keep looking out there and saying, huh, yeah, they really need it over there. Yeah, them folk really need it. You know what we're doing? We're denying that God's talking and living in us. We think we are already perfected. I mean, come on, give us a break. No one in here walks on water yet, do they? So then that's us, and we have to see this as being us. So we're the soulish Galatians who, he says, you soulish Galatians, who has bewitched you? And the language is literally leads to say, by false representation. Who has bewitched you by false representation? You know who did it? You did it to yourself. This thing right up here between your ears. See, this is the one that's bewitched you. See, don't blame a person. Because the Bible says very clearly that deception does not come from without. Where does it come from? From within. So guess who my problem is, Bob? Yeah, there's my problem. See, can't point a finger at anybody else. I don't care what somebody... If somebody come up and kicked me right in the shins, that's not my problem if I get mad at them, because my problem is me by the way I responded to what they did to me. Do you see that? What I did to respond shows me what condition I'm in. And that's what the test is all about that God keeps giving us. He lets people come in our lives for a reason, a season, or a lifetime, and just lets them do whatever has to be done. Psalm 17, verse 13 says, David said, Lord, deliver me from the wicked, which is your sword. Our sword is the word of God. God's sword is the wickedness in people that he uses to correct and just adjust people. So he lets them come in and do these things to see what kind of attitude we're going to have. See? Does that make sense to you? Do you understand what's going on? God's doing this for you. God knows where you are, knows where you're going to end up. Would you agree to that? But guess what? You don't know. You don't know who you are, and you don't know where you're going or where you're going to end up. There's a problem. Do you see the problem? He's trying to help you find your way. God's not lost. Come on. Is he? We're the ones that's lost. We're the ones trying to find our way back to the home. Right? God's not got a problem. People have the problem. So we've got to turn this thing around and realize God's trying to help us. Okay? And someone has misrepresented things. In the Garden of Eden, when Eve was deceived, who was doing the deceiving? A serpent was talking to the woman. Well, you know who that was? Because Adam and Eve is a representation of who? You. So when the Eve represented the female side, it's the soul conversing with the serpent, the mind, the snake, see, up here. So when this goes on, guess what happened? She had a misrepresentation. Didn't the word say this? The serpent said to her, if you eat of this tree, you'll be like God. She already was. So the lie was, you're not really God. You're not really of God. Anybody ever think that in your mind? I'm really not of God? If you haven't say yes, you're lying. Because every one of us have thought it. I didn't think I was either for many, many years until God opened me up and showed that all this religious stuff that people have been putting on us is just part of that same carnal serpent that talked to Eve in the garden. We've all been deceived under the same thing. He said, who has bewitched you by false representation that you should not obey the truth? See, God told her, said, don't take of that tree of knowledge of good and evil. And see, Adam and Eve was both formed in one, and then they were split. So Eve was there. Eve did hear the command. See, but Adam was there too. And he said, don't take of that tree. But the serpent made her believe it was okay to take of the tree because God only wanted to keep it away from you for himself, like God was selfish. God knew that if she took of that tree, there'd be a real problem before things had been worked out. So he let her go ahead and eat of the tree. And he said, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Now these people, Galatians, some of them, he's saying, you watch Jesus be crucified. My God, you stand and watch it with your physical eyes and then you can't believe what happened? What's going on? Somebody hired somebody up here to help them, didn't they? This only, he said, I would learn of you. Did you receive the Spirit from out of your works of the law or from out of the hearing of faith? Which way did it go? Which way did it go? How did you get started? Was it what you did? Or was it from the hearing of faith? Which one was it? Paul, I was told one time that I ask loaded questions. Hello. I do ask loaded questions. I ask you a question. If you answer it honestly, it can't be anything but right. Is there anything wrong with that? That's what the teachers in this book did. Jesus always asks questions when people ask him questions. Yes, I do ask loaded questions. Just like I said, is there anything wrong with this? No. That's the way my teacher taught me to do it, so that's fine. Okay? So Paul says the same thing. He says, I want to learn one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law? Did anybody here get it from the works of the law? Okay, we can eliminate that part of it, can't we? Or did you get it by hearing of faith? Did you get it by hearing the faith? Okay. So guess what? Then you're seed of Abraham. Okay. Simple as that. Verse 3. Are you so foolish, or literally so soulish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? If I was living in the flesh, which everyone does until we hear by the Spirit and hear the faith, right? Now, if I was living in the flesh and that could not perfect me and my life was a mess, how could I possibly go back to the flesh after I've heard the Spirit and think that that's going to perfect me? But you know where most people do? As soon as people come to a church realm, and I know they go through all these ritualistic things, you've got to go slobber on a board and say, I'm sorry, and then God will save you. That's not true. But when the Spirit speaks to you and you come there, what happens to immediately? What do they tell you you've got to do? Oh, you got to be baptized now. You got to stop cutting your hair, wash the makeup off, take those earrings off, take those necklaces off, wear a big long dress, and men cut your hair and shave. And where does that say that in the book? Does it say it anywhere in there you got to do that stuff? Well, then which one should you listen to? All the rules and regulations, or hear what God says? It's so simple. Just do what God says. It's simple. Go ahead. Verse 3.
Verse 3 says, then have you gone completely crazy? For if trying to obey the Jewish laws never gave you spiritual life in the first place, then why do you think that trying to obey them now will make you stronger?
And see, it's no different today as it was back then. It's the same thing. Paul rebuked Peter for trying to make everybody be circumcised and be under the Jewish law, and him being a hypocrite and eating with the Gentiles when there wasn't any Jews around. When the Jews come around, he'd withdraw from the Gentiles and go back and try to play Jew again. See? The hypocrisy of religion is sickening, and it won't do us any good, period. We have to come out of this thinking process and realize that God is in control of not just some things that we want to give him authority in, but he is all power and all wisdom and all knowledge. So what's he in control of? Wouldn't it be A-L-L? Okay? So if he's in control of all and all things and everything going on, it doesn't mean that he's making people go out and commit murder and rape and all these bad things going on. But you know what? He's aware of it and he permits it to happen because it'll bring about a response. Okay? And I don't believe that God just has a whole bunch of different wills. I believe He has a perfect will, and He permits things to happen. Okay? Verse 4. Have you suffered so many things without reason? If it really be even without reason. He's saying, did you suffer all these things because of the spiritual growth in your life? When you was in the world, in the flesh, when you came out of that and started in your first walk with God, people thought you'd lost your mind, didn't they? Wait a minute. We're going drinking tonight. How come you ain't drinking? Well, I'm saved now. I can't do that. What do they think you were?
Crazy.
See? You're crazy. What is this Jesus stuff? You know? You're crazy. You're missing life. No, I found life now. That's just a start. But then you go on and you go into your Pentecostal experience and then you lose how many more friends? More? And they'll say, you plumb went crazy. Your Passover friends will tell you you went crazy when you went to Pentecost. But then how come everybody wants to stop the pattern there when there's a Feast of Tabernacles? Because when you walk into Tabernacles, you get the Pentecostal and the Passover people all saying you're crazy. And that puts you in a pretty good company because they told Jesus He was crazy, full of devils, okay? So we got to realize we're going on through this thing. It was for no reason. You didn't suffer any of this stuff whenever you were in the world, did you? Did you suffer persecution for your faith when you were in the world? When you had faith in Jack Daniels, did that give you any persecution? No, you was one of the gang. But when you have faith in Christ, now you get persecution, okay? And that's what He's saying. Did you do all this for nothing? You went through all this persecution. You went against the Jewish laws and stepped out in faith, and now you're going to back up and go back to them again. It's ridiculous. That's what the church world's doing today anyway. Verse 5, it says, He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does He do it from out of the works of the law or from out of the works of hearing of faith? He's saying the apostles that walked before them people and did miracles and done wonderful things and introduced them to the Spirit of God, did they do it by the law or by faith? Okay. The only way this thing works, by faith. If Abraham, who was the very first Jew, it says, he was the father of Jews, if he was the first and he became a Jew by doing nothing more than what? Believing what God said. Isn't that what he did? And it was accounted to him for righteousness. So if he made it that way, how am I going to make it? How am I going to make it in? Someone tell me, how am I going to make it? See? Don't go out and tell somebody you got to do this, 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 and this. Don't give nobody a set of rules and regulations like the religious realm does. Just tell them you got to believe what God said. Simple, but it's truth, isn't it? It's so simple that it confuses the intelligent minds of the religious world. I don't have to do this and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6, 7, and 12, and all these rules and regulations. All I have to do is believe what God said. What did Ecclesiastes say, chapter 12? Anybody tell me about what it says about the whole duty of man? I'm going to read it to you. I'm trying to get there. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, because this is the whole duty of man. This is the whole of man. Because God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Who's going to do all the judging? Then why is the church stepping up trying to volunteer to be the judge? We don't need an executioner, do we? God's taking care of it. Okay. Even as Abraham, or just as Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him into righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith or from out of faith, the same are the children or the sons of who? Who are they the sons of? Do you know that this language has symbolism in it? Everybody know that? What does Abraham's name mean?
Father of multitude.
Let's reword this thing a little different. Let me read this to you, what it really says by Spirit, okay? Know ye therefore that they which are from faith, the same are the sons of their father. See, I'm the son of my father by what? He birthed me by faith in the Spirit of God. How was Jesus conceived? By Spirit, right? Did Mary doubt that she was pregnant by the Spirit? Joseph had a problem with it. The natural man did for a little while until God set him right, didn't he? But see, that's okay. It's all pictures of what God's saying by Spirit. These are natural things that show us the picture of the spiritual truth. And look at verse 8. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify or render innocent the heathen through faith, right? Or from out of faith, preached ahead of time or announced the good news in advance to Abraham. Now, if that verse stopped right there, we could come up with all kinds of ideas about what the gospel was. But he said, he preached ahead of time the gospel to Abraham, didn't he? Now look what he says. He went on and said something, didn't he? Saying, in you shall what? All nations, all peoples be blessed. Well, guess what? If all is going to be blessed, guess what the good news is? What is it? All. Well, that don't meet the doctrine of the Pentecostal or any of them other churches, does it? Their doctrine is that a few is going to make it and the rest of them is going to hell. Something's wrong with this picture, because God's Word says all, doesn't it? There's the good news. How many churches out here are telling people this morning good news about hell? What part of hell is good? I've been in hell, haven't you? There ain't nothing good about it. In my head, I've been in hell. And every one of us has been there. What part of that's good? Then what are they preaching about? Why don't they preach about the good news, what God said to Abraham from the very beginning out of Genesis 12, verse 3 and 4, where he said, all nations will be blessed. And he reiterates it here by the Spirit. All shall be blessed. Why don't we talk about everybody making it? It's not to release anybody from any responsibility. We all have our responsibilities. But God said, in the end, everyone's going to make it. There's some good news. When Jesus was born, what did the angels sing? Behold, we bring glad tidings of great joy today. A condemner is born to the world. Huh? He's a Savior, a Deliverer. They've changed all the words and meanings. We go back to the truth, to the foundation. God came to bring all back to Him. He didn't come back to see if He could find a couple good ones and burn the rest of them for eternity. Did He? Come on. Open your thinking processes up and listen to the Spirit of God. Verse 9. So then they, or the ones that are from out of faith, are blessed with faithful Father. See? How could, if I am born of faith, which my Father is faith, if I'm born of Him, how could I not have everything He has? The natural even teaches that. The Father's genes are right in that child. He has everything that the Father has. Same seed. Everything's right there. See? So if I'm born of faith, my Father is faith, guess what? I'm just like Him. I'm blessed like Him because I am Him. I was born the same way Jesus was. I was conceived supernaturally by the Spirit of God, came upon my woman and impregnated her and brought forth a son, just like He was. It's no different than you. And if anybody tries to tell you different, they're lying to you. Don't believe the lie. You were born supernaturally in the Spirit just like Jesus was. He was the pattern to show you how you were going to be born. Don't let no one lie to you about it. Because if you do, then you're back up to that first verse again, that soulish Galatian that's been bewitched. Don't let nobody take that away from you. Okay? Verse 10. Because as many as are of the works of the law, they are under the curse. You think you can do it by what you work? You think you can get out and flag traffic in and park people in these big church parking lots and be the janitor and do all these things, you think that's going to get you in the kingdom of God? You know, while I can go into a prison, I used to work in a prison. And I went into prison and they had people that swept the floors and mopped the floors for a few small favors. They got a little bit more liberty than some of the other people. They called them porters in the prison. But you know what? It sure didn't get their sentence commuted, did it? And it's no different. We can't come in here and think we're going to clean the house and cut the grass and do this little painting or trimming. That ain't going to change the way you think, is it? The only way to change the way you think is change the way you think. Be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've got to see what God said, and anything in your mind that contradicts what God said has to go. There's how you renew your mind. You've got to see which one God said and which one you're saying, which one the serpent's talking in. Okay? Because it is written, cursed is everyone that continues not in the things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Well, guess what? In Deuteronomy 27:26, it says, cursed is everyone that continues not in all things. See, I can do 99.9% of the law, do one little thing not right, and it says I'm guilty of the whole thing. I might as well have been a murderer and a rapist and a thief and everything in the world. It's not out of your works, and that's what God's trying to tell us by the Spirit. It's not out of anything you can do that can make you righteous. It's what He already did. Do you hear what I'm saying? I heard something said one time, and I didn't understand it years ago, and now I understand it because the Spirit opened it up to me. Jesus, what it wasn't even talking about when He died on the cross in the year, what, 2,000 years ago, okay? That wasn't even the focal point of what He did. And I didn't understand it years ago when a man said that wasn't the sacrifice. Boy, that raised some hackles up. But listen to this. By the Spirit. The book says He was the Lamb that was slain when? So when was the sacrifice? That was just a pattern showing you the fulfillment of it for the natural eye to see. That was not near as hard to go there as it was back there before anybody had ever done anything. See, the sacrifice was actually before the Spirit, before any of this stuff all come about. The sacrifice was made before there was ever a problem. So it's pretty amazing to understand that. We can't live under the law. We can't work under the law because nobody can do it. They'll just bind you up. You can never go anywhere. Okay? But that no man, verse 11, is justified or rendered just or innocent in the law, in the sight of God, it is clear. Okay? Because the just shall live by what? Literally it says, the just shall live from out of his faith. Okay? The language here is a quote from Habakkuk 2:4. It says, the just shall live by his faith. It's a revelation to see that word his. Everybody says, oh, we live by faith. Oh, I believe. I got faith. Well, there's a lot of people in the world that have faith about things, but see, that's not his faith. His faith is believing what he says. Does that make sense? If I have faith in God, if I have God's faith, how could I not believe what God says? Who could not believe if I really have the faith of God? Because you can't show me anything in that book that I don't believe. Now, I might say, add this to it. I may not totally understand the context of everything just yet, but I believe God said it and meant it. Does that make sense? Just because I don't necessarily understand the full context and the Spirit of God has not opened everything to me totally yet, does not mean it's not true. And I have enough sense to know this. Everything He said is truth. And the people that contradict it and deny it are the ones that are liars. Because they're trying to dig out of their carnal mind and find some way to justify their position in life. That's just the truth. They're still standing under the law and works. There is no works. It's under the law. The law has been fulfilled, rather. It's all under faith now. It's a finished product. And the last thing Jesus said, He finished His work. And the law is not from out of faith, but the man that does them shall live in them, right? In what? In faith. If he does under the law, he's going to live under the law. If he does it under faith, he's going to live under faith. Christ has redeemed us, verse 13, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, because it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And I got your answer for that. My wife asked me, says, I can't find that anywhere in the Bible. Where is that at where it says? It says it's written. It is, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 21, verse 23. If you go read that, you'll say, cursed is everyone that hangs on the tree. 21, 23. Okay? It is in the book. Okay? Jesus became a curse. He hung on the tree and became what we already were. Because we were living under what until that time? So we were what? We were cursed. So he hung on a tree to become the curse that we already were, to reverse the curse. And the book says the curse has been what? Reversed. Well, then guess what? What's everybody telling you you're cursed for? They want to keep you in control, in domination. They want to tell you how to live your life. They want to make you give them all your money. Those kind of things. Well, it's not what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to let them live in liberty. God has given us liberty. Let us live it. Doesn't the book say we'll reap what we sow? Okay, then so if I do something wrong, who should judge me? But you know what? If I do something wrong, everybody in the world wants to condemn me.
Well, I have written down in my paper, if you break the law which is man-made now, you are cursed by God. Or not cursed by God, but you're cursed by me.
Sure. It's always, you know, man, what can man do to me? What can man do to us? If you have this fear of humanity and what they might do to you, then you're going to be walking in fear and you're going to be in a bad place. See, if you come to understand who you really are, that you're God's son and you have a purpose in this life, you're not here by some happen chance, some fluke that you're just here. But if you don't realize that God's in control and he's set it all up and you've got a purpose, guess what? When you get there, you become dangerous to the religious system because you don't conform and you don't get in line with the rest of the sheep. Well, you know what? I'm not a sheep. I'm a son of God, aren't you? If you're a son of God, then you don't have to get in line with the sheep. That's for the ones under the law. Yeah. And then you'll be labeled a rebel and all these other things. That's okay. They said Jesus was crazy and all them things about him, so it's good company. Verse 14. He became this. Now look, see, here's the reason why Jesus became the curse for us. In order that the blessing of Abraham, or the father, might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. In order that we what? What's it say? The word might shouldn't be there. That's just saying, well, maybe. See? That word's an added word. In order that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Jesus went to the tree that we could receive the promise of Abraham through faith the same way he did. That's fantastic. Abraham didn't have to do anything, did he? Abraham was never obedient to God until the point where God blessed him. You go back to Genesis 12 and you'll see he had given Abraham in 11 and 12, he'd give him two commands to do and he'd never done either one of them yet. In fact, he went the opposite direction. When God told him to go south, he went north. Okay. Went totally different direction. So guess what? God comes to him and says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. Well, why? He didn't do anything right. Under the church system, they'd have thrown him in hell. Abraham should have burnt in hell for eternity. Now, that's the way the church system would have seen it. Because he didn't obey God. Don't give him no mercy. Throw him in hell. Burn him. But God comes to him after he disobeyed him twice and says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And if anybody blesses you, I'll bless them. If anybody curses you, I'll curse them. And in you, all families of the earth will be blessed. What did he do to deserve it? Tell me. Someone tell me what he did. He didn't do anything to deserve it. It was a sovereign choice by the Father. And you think it's any different in your life? If you think it's any different, see, you're missing the point. This is all laid out for us to understand. This is for you, not for somebody else. Okay? verse 15, he says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men." He said, now I'm going to put some reasoning to it in the natural thought. "Though it be a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man thwarts or hinders or adds thereunto." He said, even if it just was, no one's changed it. God made a covenant with Abraham. If it was just a man's covenant, no one's ever changed it. It's still there, isn't it? "Now to Abraham and to his seed were the promises made." Now, when we hear this, we say, to Abraham and his seed, what do you think of? Yep, but see, that wasn't what it was. To Abraham and his seed. The seed of Abraham was what? Christ in him, not the Jewish nation. There's the false concept, this thing. It was the seed of Christ in Abraham that the promise was made to. And that's why he had to wait till the seed came in many generations down the line. It was that same seed. Christ was the same seed that was in Abraham when he was walking on this earth. That's the one that got the promise. And that same seed of Christ is the same seed that's within you. If you can't see that that seed is within you, you're missing the point. That's what he's trying to tell you. It's not many seeds, but the seed. The same seed of Christ. There's only one seed, and it's in many people. Okay? Oh, my God, help us. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises spoken or made. He said, not and to seeds as of many, but as of one, even to thy seed," which is what? Isn't that what it just said? See, it was the seed of Christ he was talking to, not the seed of the Jewish nation, not the biological seed that everybody thinks it was. It wasn't to the nation. And that's why Israel got so far off base, because they thought it was to them as a nation. It wasn't. It was to the seed of Christ. "And I say that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 400 years after, cannot disannul or invalidate, that it should make the promise of none effect. Because if the inheritance be from out of the law, it is no more from out of the promise. But God gave it to Abraham through a promise." He gave it to him. It wasn't by, "Abraham, if you'll keep these laws, then I'll let you be a son of God," did he? He said, "Because you believed me," that qualified him to be the son of God. Man, that's so simple. That's what we got to do. Same thing. Just believe what God said. And I know with all of our technology, with all of our information we have today, it's so easy to be confused about so many things, because there's people out there that will tell you anything to get your attention. They'll tell you, they'll say anything, they'll do anything. But you know what? It's so simple. I got to believe what God said. How come this book has been preserved through thousands and thousands of years? Some of these writings, 4,000 or 5,000 years old. How do they get preserved? Isn't that amazing? Because there's things we'll do today that'll be gone tomorrow and we'll never see them again. But this is preserved because it is God's Word, and it's our map on how to get back home. Okay? We're the ones that's lost, looking for a way back. All of humanity. Okay? Verse 19, "Wherefore then serve the law?" What good was the law then? That's what Paul's asking. What good's the law? And then he tells you, "It was added because of transgression till the seed should come of whom the promise was made," showing you it was not made to the Jewish nation, but it was made to that seed of Christ that's within every one of us now. "And it was ordained," what? "Not by angels, but through messengers, in the hand of a mediator," or a, what's another word for this mediator?
Reconciler.
The language actually says reconciler. See, Jesus wasn't just what we call a mediator. We're trying to get two people together. See? Well, I'll tell you what, if you take a mediator today, you'll find that most mediators are not very successful. Are they? When we have mediation in union disputes, how many times do they really get it settled right? Most of the time, it's not very successful. But this word is a reconciler. And a reconciler is one is reconstructing or bringing it back to what it was. Kind of like Jubilee, okay? That's what it is, setting everybody free, bringing it all back to where it was in the beginning. These are all patterns of showing you what God's doing. And he did it through the hand of reconcilers. See, all the prophets were not judgers, but they were reconcilers. And if you go through the whole language of this book, if you go through all the teaching of this book, you'll find out every one of his prophets was into restoration and reconciliation. Every single one of them. Nobody contradicted it. They were all pointing to that. Going back to the Father, all people. But because of the carnality and the misunderstanding and the misinterpretations, everybody tried to slice it and dice it and make it fit their doctrines. We've got all kinds of heresies out here. And they're not the truth. Okay? It was added because of the transgression until the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained through the messengers in the hand of a reconciler. Now, a reconciler is not a reconciler of one, but God is one. He's saying, I can't reconcile. If I'm all there is, how can I reconcile anything? Can I? If I'm all there is, how can I reconcile? There has to be this many, don't there, to be reconciled. He said, but God is one. He has many bodies, many dwelling places. Is the law then against the promises of God? Question, is it? Is the law against the promises of God? It says God forbid, but those words, Greek word genomei, means may it never be. Because if there had been a law given which could have given life, or literally revitalized, is what the language says, if reading a law could revitalize me and doing these rules and regulations, truly, okay, or then really, righteousness should have been where? From out of the law. Why did Jesus have to go to a cross? See? Why did he have to go and die and suffer all those things if it could have been done by just keeping these rules and regulations? It does not change the way you think, does it? See, I can drive 55 miles an hour all day long on the highway because it says 55 miles an hour, but in my heart, my muscles are just twitching, wanting to punch that gas pedal down. Did I really obey the law? See, because in my heart, I still wanted to speed. Right? If I still want to do it here, see, my heart's not been changed. But if we let the spirit of faith come into us and change us from the inside out, not the outside and just shine it up on the outside, but let it get inside of you, guess what's going to happen? I'll no longer have a desire to break that law. If I let the fruit of the Spirit be manifested in my life, when I go back to a situation, it comes up in my life, do I get mad? Do I get angry? Not if that's what's been in here. If I got it in here, anger and violence and all this stuff, the ites of the land, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to reach back and get a hold of that ite whenever I need it. And if I have got the fruit of the Spirit, that new heart Ezekiel said he put in here, that he took the stony heart out and give you a soft heart, if I got that soft heart of God in there, whenever it comes up, guess what I'm going to reach to? The heart of God, the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to reach back and get that love and compassion, that long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, the things which there's no law against. See, that's where I'm going to go. But if I keep reaching back to that, something tells me I'm still thinking with a little bit of duality. If I say I'm a Christian, I say I'm a good person, and I reach back and continue doing things, something's wrong in my thinking. See, this isn't condemnation. It's a revelation that there's something that needs to be changed. And if I'm thinking wrong, what needs to be changed? Tell me. My thinking needs to be changed. See, it don't make me a bad person. Something in my head is working. Paul said in Romans 7, it's not I that does it, but the sin nature that dwells within me. So I need to deal with this sin nature that's within me, don't I? Right? Okay. We've got to deal with this sin nature. And it's in our thinking process. Verse 22. But the Scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promises from out of the faith of Jesus Christ be given. Cross that word might out because it's not might, like it might happen. It's been done. That the faith of Jesus Christ be given to them that believe. Now, it says that in the Scripture, but the Scripture has concluded all in under sin. Where's that at? Romans 11:32 says what? God has concluded all in unbelief that He might have mercy upon all. But you know what? We missed something there. He said the Scripture. What's wrong with that statement? I didn't give you Scripture. Hello. I gave you Bible. Scripture is referred to as Old Testament. Okay? Know this. It's a truth. This Bible never speaks of Scripture unless it's speaking of Old Testament. If you speak of something in the New Testament, it's Bible. Okay? Biblion, Bible. But here it says the Scripture. So what do we have to be talking about? Old Testament. Did I give you that verse? See? Now, see, if you don't pay attention, see what I could do? I could say, there it is. But I didn't give you Scripture. The Scripture is in 1 Kings 8 and 46. If any time you see something in the book and it says Scripture, it is written in Scripture,